We've been talking about seeking Jesus, okay, the past couple weeks. Oh, and next week, my wife saved me, and next week is baptisms. So if you have not been baptized, we have some people on the list, and you'd like to be baptized, please see me after service or call the number that is on any of the paperwork that you've received, and we'll get you baptized. That is a step you probably should take if you're following Christ. But we've been talking about seeking Jesus. And the idea is that, you know, we want to know who he is. We want to follow the Lord. We want to know who Christ is. It's a play on words. We think if you seek King Jesus, you'll actually see King Jesus, that he is the King. And so today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. And so I'm going to have my friend Caleb. Caleb, come over here. Guys, remember Caleb from last week? I handcuffed myself to Caleb. All right, well, we talked about community. And there's a microphone over there. So we've talked about a few things. We talked about prayer, that we need to be people who pray. We've talked about community. And this week we're going to be talking about Scripture. And Scripture is very important. You know, you can seek Jesus in Scripture. This week, yesterday was my daughter's 12th birthday. And so we took five of her friends, plus her and Hannah. So there were under 12, seven of young girls. And my wife and I, and they locked us in one of those escape rooms. Have you ever heard of that? Escape room is like a game you play where you have an hour to get out and there's puzzles. All right. And it's really fun because you're playing these puzzles and you're following these things and there's these little clues you have to read. And each clue you read takes you to the next clue, and then that clue takes you to the next clue. And if you do it fast enough, you get out. Only when you're in there with like seven people that are under 12 years old or 12 and under, and they're all little girls, it's crazy. I wanted out of that room more than I've ever wanted anything in my life. It was fun, but you read a clue, and about halfway through reading it, you're trying to figure out this puzzle, they all lost focus. Like, my daughter didn't. She wanted to win. She likes to win. But a couple of the girls, they were just all of a sudden in conversation. I'm like, this is a clue. We're not going to get out. And they're just running around, touching everything in the room. And then you have to go back. Some of the clues we had to listen, like audio, we had to listen to one clue like six times because it was like really complex. And we're like, shh. And we get like 2 minutes into it, and then they all start talking again. We're like, oh, my gosh. But you know that following that voice, following those patterns, God gives us a guidebook that's even more clear than that. But it's the same exact thing that we do. Is there's all this distraction, and we don't pay attention long. Don't actually read it, but you can read it and you can seek it, and it will literally guide you on the path of life, which is why I've invited Caleb here, because Caleb is at CIU, he's a graduate student there, and he's one of the few people I know that really, I mean, I know people that love the Lord, but Caleb loves the Lord, but he loves the Word of God, and I just want you to introduce yourself, Caleb, and talk.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm Caleb, like you said, I'm over at CIU studying the Bible. Basically, primarily because I love the Bible. I mean, people go to seminary school for different reasons, but man, I just have a love for the Bible. But before I kind of start talking about that, I feel kind of compelled to mention, man, Chris is a great guy. Like, and he doesn't know I'm doing this, but I'm just like, man, yeah, I got to mention how great you guys' as pastor is. You were so blessed just to have him here.
I'm not paying him to mention that.
Throw that out there. If y'all want to clap. It's awesome. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
He'll rebuke me for that later, but it's, you know, I had to do it.
Yes, I will, but thank you.
That's right. So yeah, he kind of asked me to mention my kind of scripture testimony. So I said, what's a scripture testimony? So when I was younger, around 4 or 5, I believe I met the Lord. I believe I got saved. My dad walked me through the gospel, and I went, yeah, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and I got saved when I was young. But as so many people often do, you know, life takes over. You're 6, you're 7, you're 8. You're just kind of processing life. You're not spending a tremendous amount of time, you know, reading the scriptures. And that kind of went on really and truly for most of my life, most of my teenage years, until around 17 or 18 years old. And a youth pastor I had at the time comes to me and goes, hey, the whole youth group's going to read the Bible in 90 days. I went, that's the jam. Let's do it. Like, let's read the Bible in 90 days. Like, I've never read much of any of it, right? Like, I knew some of the stories. I grew up in church, but I've never actually, like, read the Bible. But, yeah, let's do it. Let's do the Bible in 90 days. And I just want to tell you guys, man, I read that Bible in about 102 days, okay? Took me about 102. But I read that Bible, and I understood so little of it, right? Like, I hit Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, help me, Lord. Like what does that mean? You know, I hit some of those quirky passages and Judges, and I was like, how is that okay? Like, how is that in the Bible? Like, what do I do with it, right? And there was so much of it that I just didn't quite understand. I didn't quite connect the dots. But what I've realized is that process dramatically and radically changed my life. I have read it twice. I've read it many times. I love it, and I've understood more of it over the years. But I just want to encourage you guys, man, that it was Christ that transformed me. It was the Holy Spirit that got a hold of me. As I read through that book, as I worked through the stuff, even a lot of the stuff that I didn't understand, God used it to transform my life. And it's the reason that I ended up getting fired up and going to seminary school and studying the Bible, is because Jesus met me through the Scriptures. I just want to encourage y'all on that.
And so Caleb is going to help me, and he's going to stay up here as we kind of talk today. He's going to help me teach this because I know he is a Bible teacher, and so we're going to go through a few things. I have a scripture, and it's on the front of your insert if you grab it. It says, Jesus is talking to some people, and he makes a pretty bold statement. It's John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The one thing I want you to get out of today is that the scriptures, the Bible, are meant to point you to Jesus Christ. A good, solid understanding of the Bible will do you no good. Memorizing every passage in there, like, that will do you no good. Now I'm going to put, but without Christ. Because a good, solid understanding of the Bible with Christ will do you tons of good. But there's people that are committed atheists or committed agnostics or committed other religions that know the Word of God probably better than a lot of people in this room. So it's not just about knowing the content. It's about knowing the one the content talks about. In the same way that you could be an excellent Facebook stalker. Excellent. You could be the best. You could be on Facebook at all hours of the day and know what everyone's pictures look like and know all their status updates since 2009 and never have accidentally clicked like on anything. And you know where they've been, where they've vacationed, but if you don't know them, you do not know that person. Some people, we stalk Jesus in the scripture without actually ever knowing him. But you can use Facebook as a tool to stay close to somebody, to stay connected with somebody. Like, it can be it can help the connection, but it is not that connection. Knowing the Bible is not knowing Christ, but it can help you know Christ, which is why we put it third, which is why we started with prayer. I think you need to be able to pray. We started with community, where two or three gathered, he's in our midst, and why we're going into Scripture now, to take nothing away from Scripture. But man, the last thing we need is a bunch of people that know a lot of scripture but don't know Jesus. So we want to move from stalking Jesus to knowing a little bit about him. And then there's another passage I put on there, and I will not read that whole passage of scripture, but I'm going to summarize it. You can go back and check up on me. But there's after Jesus died on the cross, he rose again, and two of his disciples, and you could read it right there. It says that they were traveling to a village named Emmaus, and they were sad. And they're discussing these things, like, about the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so their Savior has just died. They don't know what's going on. They're walking. Jesus walks up to them. And it says, verse 27, the key, is they go from being sad to being happy because he does one thing. He begins with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them all the scriptures, all things concerning himself. So he opens up the scripture for these people, and he shows that the word that they've been reading really does point to Jesus. So some foundational truths. Number one, or A, all scripture reveals Christ, reveals Jesus. If you're not seeing Christ in the scripture, you're missing the point. Because all things, like, that is the point of the scripture. That is the point, to bring you closer to the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. A whole bunch of knowledge in your head will not save you. But knowledge of the living God, the resurrected Son of God, will save you, knowing him. When he comes back, it's, do you know him? But the scripture reveals it. It pulls it back. You can know someone better by stalking their Facebook. You can know a little, wow, I didn't know that they mountain climbed. Wow, that's cool. You can learn a little bit more, so it's a tool to draw you closer into Christ. B, and we could put it up there. It says, the Old Testament points to Jesus. I want you to realize there are different types of books in the Bible, because when you start reading it, you think it's all just one thing, but it's not. Many different authors. The Old Testament points to Jesus. He's coming. This is what he's going to look like. This is where he'll be born. This is what he'll do. He's coming. The Gospels tell Jesus' story. They're all about living and walking and breathing and healing and dying and rising again of Jesus Christ. And then the rest of the New Testament, they explain the impact. It's almost like they're pointing back. The Jesus thing, he was the one who split time AD and BC. He was the one who split time. The Old Testament pointed and said, this man is coming. This Messiah is coming. Look for him. This is what he'll do. The Gospels, he steps onto the screen, the scene, and changes everything. Walking on water, raising the dead, open blind eyes, leprosy is fleeing, sin is defeated, and the enemy is dethroned. Like, everything changed. Physically to spiritually, it all changes in Jesus Christ. And then the rest of the New Testament is like a whole bunch of guys just trying to explain what they just saw. Like, he was here, he was walking, and he died, and he rose again, and here's how that, here's what that means and how that matters, and they interpreted the Old Testament in light of him, and here's what grace is, here's what the gospel is, here's what salvation is, and they went and they tried to explain the impact of what just happened in Christ. But the point of reading the scripture is to bring you right here, right to Jesus Christ, as close as you can possibly get. And so that's what we're trying to work on today. And C, point C, God commands us to study scripture. Like, it is good to read your Bible. It is good to know the Word of God. And we want to give you just a few things. Because one of the truths that we just got to face it is there's a lot of people who say the Bible says a lot of different things. And they can't all be right. Somebody is lying or somebody is misled, because there's some kooky ideas out there. There's some that are right on. There's some that are a little off. And there's some that are like, what the heck are you talking about? Because people cherry pick, they proof text. And they read the Bible. You know what cherry pick is, right? Or you proof text. It's like, I want to talk about this. Let me Google some verses that make it sound like this is true. That's really easy to do that. I could do that. That's why you need to know how to read the Bible. I don't, but I could. So cherry pick, proof text. But we want you to be able to find Christ in that. So we're going to give you four tools. And Caleb and I will be talking about this. So, Caleb, the first tool that I talked about or that we discussed as we were trying to figure this out, because he and I sat down together and we said, what would be four things we could give everybody that when you leave, that you would have a better way to understand your Bible? Well, one, ask the Holy Spirit to make it clear. Why is that important, Caleb?
Yeah, so it's kind of like what I was telling you guys earlier when I said that I started reading the Bible and I didn't understand a lot of it, but the more I read it, the more kind of Jesus got a hold of me. The reality is that truth is revealed by God. Holy Spirit's the great teacher. The Holy Spirit is the great revealer of truth, the one who teaches us ultimately. So, yeah, we can read the Word of God, and we should read the Word of God. We should understand what it says as best as we can. You can use tools, study guides, study Bibles, what have you. But at the end of the day, the thing that makes it real to you, that puts it on your heart, that brings about change and transformation, that really helps you see what the Scripture is ultimately about, is the Holy Spirit of God. It's His truth. It's His revelation. It's His God-breathed word. And because it's His God-breathed word, you need the Spirit of God in you as you read that word to understand it, apply it, and grow. It's a work of God. It's not just a work of our mind, our intellect, or our information. It has to be more than that. And so you need the Holy Spirit. And so I recommend, you know, before you read your Bible, and I do recommend reading it, sit down, pray to the Lord, pray to the Holy Spirit, and go, Holy Spirit, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things that confuse me, but give me something. Teach me something. Show me something. Help me. And He will. He will.
I've heard it was said, and I stole this from somebody, you're allowed to steal things, okay, as long as it's for the Lord. And so I heard this said, you know, the Bible was written in the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it should be read under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Like, if God inspired these men of God to write this down, and so you need some inspired understanding, and the Spirit of God comes to bring us all truth. And so I know when I read, I try to say, God, help me to understand. Like, think about this. Some of you guys, let's be honest, some people in here aren't the brightest tools in the shed, all right? And hear that for what it is. But some of you are brilliant. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter. There's some of us that aren't and some of us that are, but it doesn't matter because it's the Spirit of God that will speak to us. And so God doesn't play favorites. God looks for people that are hungry. So if you say, man, I could never understand this, and you come to God humbly, He'll explain it to you. And if you're brilliant, but you still humble yourself and say, God, I could never understand this well enough. I don't think I could really do it justice. This is Your word. Man, you humble yourself, God will begin to speak to you and to make that clear to you. The second point right there is know the context. All right, know the context. What does that mean, Caleb?
So you got a big Bible, right? I mean, I know y'all guys have looked at a Bible, read a Bible, read parts of a Bible, maybe read the whole thing. It's 66 books. It's really big. And those different books are written in different genres, right? Some of them are poetry. Some of them are law code. Some of them are historical narrative written in different genres. And so when it talks about knowing the context, me and Chris kind of talked about whenever you come across a verse, right? Whenever you come across a verse, whenever you're reading the Scripture, look at that verse and look at like 10 verses behind it, okay? And then like 10 verses in front of it. Because what you don't want to do is what Chris was talking about, which is kind of cherry picking. Because you can find verses all over the Bible that if you take them out of their context, take them out of the context of the 10 before, the 10 after, or the whole chapter, or the whole book, when you take them out of that context, you can make them mean things or think they mean things that they just don't mean in that context. You ever had that, right? Like you say something to somebody, like you have a long conversation with somebody, and then somebody goes and quotes one little small thing you said in that conversation, totally out of context. And everybody's like, man, why'd you say that? That's jacked up. Anybody ever had that? Am I the only one that's had that? Anybody know somebody that's had that, right? So what I'm saying is try not to do that with the Bible, right? Try to recognize that whatever verse you find in the Bible is in the context of a chapter, and that chapter is in the context of a book, and that book is in the context of the Scripture as a whole. And that context matters. It reveals to you what's going on. What's going on. So,
if somebody said that to me early, 10 before, 10 after, you read a verse that doesn't make sense, try that. Go 10 before, 10 after. Look at it in the wider scope of things. It's going to make sense. The third point is know the genre. All right, know the genre. That is a big word. Caleb, explain to us what the big word means. What is it? What kind of genre in Scripture is it?
Yeah, so I guess I accidentally jumped ahead a little bit. But so if you've ever read, like, Proverbs, okay? Proverbs is written in like a different genre than if you were to read like Revelation, right? Who's read Revelation, knows about Revelation? Kind of crazy, right? Like, oh my gosh, there's like a seven-headed dragon, and what's all that mean, and how do I understand all that? Then you read Proverbs, and it's kind of like, hey, you know, raise a child up in the way he should go, and when he's older, he won't depart from it. Okay, so if you've read like romance novels or science fiction novels, right? Or a science textbook or a mathematics textbook. Those are all different genres. They're all different types of writing. Well, the scripture has those different types of writing too. It has your Proverbs, it has your Revelation, and it has your Gospels. And sometimes it's important to understand that because it colors or explains the way you might interpret things, right? So like if you read Revelation, you see a seven-headed kind of dragon, and recognizing that that's apocalyptic literature, recognizing that it's a specific genre can help you go, okay, well, maybe some of this is figurative. Maybe there's not literally a seven-headed dragon, right? Because the genre helps you know that. Genre helps you know that, along with context.
I think one of the things that's cool is there's known in there prescriptive versus descriptive text. Now, this is big, but I really want you to get this. So if you read the Old Testament especially, and this happened since very early on in the church. I'm a church history major. So people, they heard about Jesus and that God loved them in Christ and that their sins were forgiven and that he was this God of love and mercy. And then they opened up the Old Testament. What? God is killing whole cities, just setting them on fire. And they came to this point and saying, how does this relate? How is this at all the same God? There was some big issues in trying to understand. And what I want you to know is that some texts are descriptive. They just tell the story. Now, there's truth in the story. And some are prescriptive, meaning they tell you what to do. So a lot of the ones in the New Testament, when it talks about love your brother, or love your neighbor, or that is telling you what to do. You don't have to think hard about that. Just take that and go with it and start being kind. But in the Old Testament, when it's telling a story, or even in some place in the New Testament, where it's telling a story about a man killing his daughter because he made a vow to God, there is no way a prescription for that. God is not telling you to go out and start killing your family members and making vows. It's just telling the story. And we got to be careful because some of us go to the Old Testament or we go to certain texts and we put the same amount of emphasis on them as we do on others. And so the idea is to know, is this a historical text? Is it just telling me a story? Now, within that story, within how God dealt with Moses, there's truth for you about Christ. But God's probably not sending you to a burning bush. Probably nobody in here, don't think I don't have faith, is parting the Red Sea. None of that. There's not a command. I don't think anybody out here is going to Lake Murray this afternoon and just waving your staff around. God is not commanding that, but he's describing what happened. Still within that, we can pull out truths about faith and about humility and about the nature of God. So knowing the text, man, that will save you. Save you from making some pretty crazy jumps of logic that God never intended us to do. And I really want to know Jesus. I really want to know the scripture. The fourth one, scripture interprets scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. So know the whole book. That is I'm pleading with you. That is why I'm saying this. Know the whole book. Know Christ. Seek Christ in the scripture. Before you start making some really, really strange errors in your thinking, is know the whole book. When you think about that, Caleb, what do you think when you think scripture interprets scripture?
Yeah, so much of what we're saying today is just the idea of recognizing that you want to get from the Bible what it was intended to say. Is that right? I don't want to come to a text of scripture and read into the Bible my own opinions, my own interpretations, my own 21st century American kind of whatever. I want to read out from scripture what the original authors intended to be in scripture, what God inspired to be in scripture. And so when we talk about scripture interprets scripture, it's basically a part of a methodology for how we do that. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've come across some texts in the scripture that even with big old honking commentaries and informational booklets, I'm still man, I don't know that I know exactly what that means. Okay? But I've also watched groups take some of those scriptures and come up with an entire theology, start an entire movement, start an entire, dare I say, cult, off of one scripture in one book that's less clear and harder to understand. And so when we talk about Scripture interpreting Scripture, here's basically what we're getting at. When the Bible says, look, Jesus is Lord, when the Bible says, look, Jesus is God, when the Bible says, look, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, when it says these very, very clear, very, very obvious things, and it says them a lot, then you know those are true, and you have to stick with those being true. And if you ever come across a text which subtly seems to undermine that, then I think it's safe for us to stop and go, you know what, I probably don't understand this one. This one's less clear. And I have that. I've had scriptures that I've come across in the scriptures where I just go, man, I kind of don't know what to do with that right now in light of a lot of these other scriptures. And so I shelf it. I pray about it. And you know what? The Lord's faithful that very often, years later, I'll see what it means. I'll see how it fits. And I'm like, oh, that's so obvious, right? But don't determine your whole theology. Don't determine major things you believe on passages that are less clear.
And this is a general rule, and put this next thing up there. When it comes, you get two texts, and one is incredibly clear, and the other one's a little bit murky. I would choose the clear text over the confusing one until you tease it out, because you may get some deep revelation. I think God can give anybody in here deep revelation. However, let's not jump over the very clear and obvious things in Scripture. Let's just stick with that for now, because I think like when Jesus says, love your neighbor, like that doesn't take a lot of explanation. So if that's where you're at, start there. And if you never graduate beyond that, you don't master how the lengths of things were in the temple, and you don't know every king in the Book of Kings, and you don't know the priest's robe and his outfit, or how they did the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and you just all your life loved your neighbor because that's as far as you could go, do you think God's going to be upset about that? I don't. See, because when we talk about studying the Scripture, I almost get scared because I don't want people to become dry, lifeless intellectuals. That is not what God intended. Like this man's story here, when he came and he told me about the fact that he shared the gospel with 25 people here to like this weekend, about give or take, whatever, however many it was, that he shared his testimony and he prayed with them, and he's just feeling closer to Jesus than he's ever felt in a long time. Like, that is awesome. He didn't have to study a commentary to do that. He didn't have to have all the 12 tribes of Israel named in or birth order. Like, he knows the story of Jesus. But on the same thing is God can still use the Scripture to bring you life and to bring you revelation. And I think that we have a responsibility. Like, we have Bibles everywhere. You probably, most people in here that have Bible on their phone, you have like 10 versions of the Bible that you can get to with a click, or 50 versions depending on which app you use. You have Bibles in your house, Bibles at your work. And it's not a magic book, and it's not a textbook. It was left here to point you to Christ. And so I want you remember your relationship with Christ, which is why you get to a confusing text and you're like, God, how could you really be like this? It's okay to say, I don't understand that. In fact, if you don't have tons of verses that you don't understand, you probably haven't read very much. Because I could start listing out scriptures that I'm like, I don't know what the heck that really means. It's not because I haven't studied. I've done Bible school in undergrad, grad school. I still read tons of books. I've researched, but I've realized that some of this stuff is hard. In fact, do you know that even Peter, you guys remember Peter, walking on water Peter? He says something about Paul. Peter says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, Paul's words are a little bit confusing and hard to understand, and some people twist them to their own destruction. So if Peter is having a hard time understanding Paul, it's okay if we don't get it all. You think Peter didn't have the Holy Spirit? This is Day of Pentecost, Peter. He was there like at the beginning. He had the Holy Spirit to show him what he needed to know. Did he not know the context? No, he was living and breathing the same air as Paul. Did he know the genre? No, he knew it was a letter. But even Peter is like, some of the stuff this guy says is rough. I don't get it all. So not to make you feel like that you can't, but that it's okay. But to start, and so where do you start in the scripture? And so we'll put this on there. I think this is a good, start with the Gospels. If you've never, who have read the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, you've read them cover to cover. If your hand's not up, start right there. Go through them. Why is it important to start with the Gospels?
Yeah, so in a lot of ways, you know, the Gospels is what the Old Testament is moving up to. And it's just got so much in it that actually points back to the Old Testament. And so when you read the Gospels, you get Jesus on a kind of a firsthand basis. You walk through his life. You look at the gospel message, the death, burial, resurrection, the whole nine yards. And it really helps inform the rest of the Bible. Plus, it's clear, you know, we as 21st century Americans didn't grow up in Jewish cultures with their laws and their regulations. And so a lot of that stuff is very distant from us, whereas the Gospels are kind of written in such a way that they're accessible to everybody. It was actually one of the intentions of the writers of the New Testament and the Gospels especially to be understandable for everybody.
And then after the Gospels, I go to the rest of the New Testament. And the idea with that is God is talking about in the Gospels. And then now move to the rest of the New Testament, which is the stuff in the back of the book. If you're not really sure about where the New Testament is, it's in the back, so you get to start in the back. Read the Gospels and then the rest of the New Testament. And then if you've got that done, how many people have read the entire New Testament, like cover to cover New Testament? Good. We got some pretty good people. We got some people that have really put some time into it. Not that it makes you better than anyone else, but that it just made you put some time into it. So I appreciate that. And then after that, I would go with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is going to be very, 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 very good, but you need to go slow and you really need to look at what type of book. Because if it's a prophetic book or if it's a history book, you read them different. If it's a book of poems, you read those different, right? Then you read a book of history. And so I wanted to give you some tools. I wanted to give you some things to start. I really appreciate Caleb coming up here. Thank you, Caleb. You've been great, man. And can you give him a hand for coming up here? He did say nice things about me, and I did not pay him to do that. And we will talk about that later. But the whole point of this Seeking Jesus thing is, man, I want you to have something to where you could take your Bible. Again, we talked about community. So what are we going to do? We're going to have a fellowship. Hopefully you show up in fellowship. You can't make community happen. You could just put the right atmosphere. We talk about reading the Bible and seeking Jesus in Scripture. Like, I want you to start reading your Scripture. Or maybe you've stopped. Maybe you used to read a lot more and you've stopped. And maybe you get back to it. Maybe you've never read the whole thing through. Man, it is life-changing. When I became a Christian, you know what I did? I was stuck home for the summer, and I just got there, and I read my Bible through that summer probably 6 times, cover to cover. Cover to cover. I've never been the same since. Now, I prayed, and I got in community at a church, but I just know the power of reading this Scripture. And there was a time, and Mother's Day, and my wife is here, but there was a time I was talking to a girl that I was dating before I met my wife. I had just become a Christian. Don't judge me. And I can remember sitting there on the phone. And, you know, back in the day, we had house phones, and they actually plugged into the wall. So this is, like, way back in the day. But sitting on the phone, it was a house phone, talking to this girl who was my girlfriend, and I had my Bible open, and she was talking to me, and I just started reading it and completely tuning her out. She talked for, like, 30 minutes, and I just was like, oh my gosh, this book was good. Like, it is good. Needless to say, you know, she didn't want to be with me too much longer after stuff like that. But God knew what he was doing, because I wound up meeting my beautiful wife and the mother of 4 of my kids, who is going to have to forgive me for sharing that story. But it's the truth, though. The Bible is alive and it's active. I want you to close your eyes just for a second. I want you to think about this. How many people feel challenged maybe to read more of your Scripture? We're not going to do an altar call. We're not going to do anything like that. But maybe you feel challenged to read the Bible a little bit more than you have. Would you put your hand up? There it is. I think this is real. Now, it's going to be on you. Tomorrow, you have the opportunity to crack open the book, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and remember some of those things we showed you. I guarantee you that book will come alive. It'll be more than knowledge. It'll be revelation of Jesus Christ. That he will show you himself. But that can't happen on Sunday morning in the same way it can happen in your house tomorrow or at your office on your lunch break. God can do great things. So God, I saw all those hands that raised. In fact, I dare say it was almost most of the people here. Help us, God, to read your word. Give us wisdom to understand it. We admit we cannot understand your word without you. Help us, God, to know Christ better, that we would not become experts in information. Not experts in information, but that we would know the risen Savior. That when we read those words of Scripture, it would like we would be reading about our best friend and hearing about the one who loves us, and that our hearts would burn with passion, God. Not just a bunch of knowledge in our head, but a bunch of fire in our hearts, a bunch of love and passion that helps us to love others. We want the real thing, Jesus. The real thing, Jesus.